23 April, 1912. Talk to Bethel Literary Society, Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church, M Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Notes by Joseph H. Hannon. As I stand here tonight and look upon this assembly, I am reminded curiously of a beautiful bouquet of violets gathered together in varying colors, dark and light. This is an evidence and indication that the United States of America is a just and free government. For I see black and white seated together in perfect harmony and agreement. Hearts are united. This just government makes such a meeting possible. You should thank God continually that you enjoy the security and protection of a government which furthers your development and rules with impartial equity and equality towards all, even as a father. For in the human world there is no greater blessing. This evening I will speak to you upon scientific subjects. The virtues of humanity are many, but science is the most noble of them all. The distinction which man enjoys above and beyond the station of the animal is due to this paramount virtue. It is a bestowal of God. It is not material. It is divine. Science is an effulgence of the sun of reality. The power of investigating and discovering the verities of the universe. The means by which man finds a pathway to God. All the powers and attributes of man are human and hereditary in origin, outcomes of nature's processes, except the intellect, which is supernatural. Through intellectual and intelligent inquiry, science is the discoverer of all things. It unites present and past, reveals the history of bygone nations and events, and confers upon man today the essence of all human knowledge and attainment throughout the ages. By intellectual processes and logical deductions of reason, this superpower in man can penetrate the mysteries of the future and anticipate its happenings. Science is the first emanation from God toward man. All created beings embody the potentiality of material perfection, but the power of intellectual investigation and scientific acquisition is a higher virtue specialized to man alone. Other beings and organisms are deprived of this potentiality and attainment. God has created or deposited this love of reality in man. The development and progress of a nation is according to the measure and degree of that nation's scientific attainments. Through this means, its greatness is continually increased, and day by day the welfare and prosperity of its people are assured. All blessings are divine in origin, but none can be compared with this power of intellectual investigation and research, which is an eternal gift producing fruits of unending delight. Man is ever partaking of these fruits. All other blessings are temporary. This is an everlasting possession. Even sovereignty has its limitations and overthrow. This is a kingship and dominion which none may usurp or destroy. Briefly, it is an eternal blessing and divine bestowal, the supreme gift of God to man. Therefore, you should put forward your most earnest efforts toward the acquisition of science and arts. The greater your attainment, the higher your standard in the divine purpose. The man of science is perceiving and endowed with vision, whereas he who is ignorant and neglectful of this development is blind. The investigating mind is attentive, alive. The callous and indifferent mind is deaf and dead. A scientific man is a true index and representative of humanity. For through processes of inductive reasoning and research, he is informed of all that appertains to humanity, its status, conditions, and happenings. He studies the human body politic, understands social problems, and weaves the web and texture of civilization. In fact, science may be likened to a mirror wherein the infinite forms and images of existing things are revealed and reflected. It is the very foundation of all individual and national development. Without this basis of investigation, development is impossible. Therefore, seek with diligent endeavor the knowledge and attainment of all that lies within the power of this wonderful bestowal. We have already stated that science, or the attribute of scientific penetration, is supernatural, and that all other blessings of God are within the boundary of nature. What is the proof of this? All created things, except man, are captives of nature. The stars and suns, swinging through infinite space, all earthly forms of life and existence, whether mineral, vegetable, or animal, come under the dominion and control of natural law. Man, through scientific knowledge and power, rules nature and utilizes her laws to do his bidding. According to natural limitations, he is a creature of earth, restricted to life upon its surface. But through scientific utilization of material laws, he soars into the sky, sails upon the ocean, and dives beneath it. The products of his invention and discovery, so familiar to us in daily life, were once mysteries of nature. For instance, man has brought electricity out of the plane of the invisible into the plane of the visible, harnessed and imprisoned that mysterious natural agent, and made it the servant of his needs and wishes. Similar instances are many, but we will not prolong this. Man, as it were, takes the sword out of nature's hand, and with it, for his scepter of authority, dominates nature itself. Nature is without the crown of human faculties and attributes. Man possesses conscious intelligence and reflection. Nature does not. This is an established fundamental among philosophers. Man is endowed with volition and memory. Nature has neither. Man can seek out the mysteries latent in nature, whereas nature is not conscious of her own hidden phenomena. Man is progressive. Nature is stationary, without the power of progression or retrogression. Man is endowed with ideal virtues, for example, intellection, volition, faith, confession, and acknowledgement of God, while nature is devoid of all these. The ideal faculties of man, including the capacity for scientific acquisition, are beyond nature's ken. These are powers whereby man is differentiated and distinguished from all other forms of life. This is the bestowal of divine idealism, the crown adorning human heads. Notwithstanding the gift of this supernatural power, it is most amazing that materialists still consider themselves within the bonds and captivity of nature. The truth is that God has endowed man with virtues, powers, and ideal faculties of which nature is entirely bereft, and by which man is elevated, distinguished, and superior. We must thank God for these bestowals, for these powers he has given us, for this crown he has placed upon our heads. How shall we utilize these gifts and expend these bounties? By directing our efforts toward the unification of the human race. We must use these powers in establishing the oneness of the world of humanity, appreciate these virtues by accomplishing the unity of whites and blacks, devote this divine intelligence to the perfection of amity and accord among all branches of the human family, so that under the protection and providence of God, the East and West may hold each other's hands and become as lovers. Then will mankind be as one nation, one race and kind, as waves of one ocean. Although these waves may differ in form and shape, they are waves of the same sea. Flowers may be variegated in colors, but they are all flowers of one garden. Trees differ, though they grow in the same orchard. All are nourished and quickened into life by the bounty of the same rain. All grow and develop by the heat and light of the one sun. All are refreshed and exhilarated by the same breeze, that they may bring forth varied fruits. This is according to the creative wisdom. If all trees bore the same kind of fruit, it would cease to be delicious. In their never-ending variety, man finds enjoyment instead of monotony. And now, as I look into your faces, I am reminded of trees varying in color and form, but all bearing luscious and delectable fruits, fragrant and delightful to the inner and outer senses. The radiance and spirituality of this meeting is through the favor of God. Our hearts are uplifted in thankfulness to Him. Praise be to God. You are living upon the great continent of the West, enjoying the perfect liberty, security, and peace of this just government. There is no cause for sorrow or unhappiness anywhere. Every means of happiness and enjoyment is about you, for in this human world there is no greater blessing than liberty. You do not know. I, who for 40 years have been a prisoner, do know. I do know the value and blessing of liberty, for you have been and are now living in freedom, and you have no fear of anybody. Is there a greater blessing than this? Freedom, liberty, security. These are the great bestowals of God. Therefore, praise ye God. I will now pray in your behalf.